listening to WCNO Palm City.
And it's a new day. A new day, and I'm Rhett Palmer, and we have Pastor Greg Semschrott. Am I saying it right?
Rhett, after all these years, you got it right.
Finally, it took me 25 years. How long have you been a preacher in Vero Beach, Florida?
Since 2005.
So how many years did that make you, 2015?
About 17, 18, right there.
Before that, you were a pastor down in South Florida.
Yeah, in Palm Beach Gardens.
And it was under what covering?
Well, it was a Church of God.
Okay.
That's Indiana, right? Yes, out of Indiana.
That's probably because you're from Indiana.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm from Daytona Beach, but I went to school in Indiana.
Oh, you're from Daytona Beach?
I grew up in Daytona.
Instead of you being an Indiana guy, you're a Florida guy.
I was the guy that went to school in Indiana, and everybody asked, are you nuts coming to school in Indiana from Daytona Beach, Florida? But that's where I landed, you know. So
now you were a bartender.
Unfortunately.
Well, it's sort of like
it's part of the story.
Start off with your own church. It's just a church.
Yeah, there's some interesting thoughts about that. That's good.
And so you were a bartender. You're in school.
Right.
Did you grow up with a perfunctory relationship with the Lord or none whatsoever?
No, I grew up in a Christian home and a bit works-based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that?
What did you do?
Okay, so you feel good about your relationship with God based on what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's works righteousness.
Works righteousness.
And so my parents never missed church. They were there when the doors were open. So I grew up in that environment. When I went to college, I went 1,000 miles away from home to live my own life.
You figure now.
Well, I didn't set out to party hardy, but I did set out to establish my own beliefs, you know.
Yeah.
And I went to a Christian school in the Midwest. I immediately was connected to some guys who ran off-campus dances. This is a Christian college, so they don't allow dancing. That's illegal. You can be expelled from school if you dance.
Now, do you think that's a little silly?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, yeah.
It's even what they call legalism, right?
Well, even back then, I thought it was silly. But anyway.
Me too.
So, next thing I know, the next year, those guys graduate. I'm running these dances off campus every month. Rhythmic Activity 101 at the Armory.
Rhythmic activity.
We would put it through the post office of the school to all the students. We'd have, 600-700 students show up for these dances. So
you had Facebook back then.
Well, let me tell you, man. And I was a young business administration student, so I'm just applying my what I'm learning in the classroom. And it was a lot of fun. And then when I was old enough, I began to, I was a waiter in a nice restaurant. But they also had a bar Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a live band. And the bar was in the back downstairs, huge room.
You were just set out to serve either food.
Yeah, whatever, you know.
Booze, and Ron, Jesus.
And they said, if you really want to learn how to be a better waiter, we want you to work the bar too. So I did that on the weekends. And then they put me on the day shift from 3 to 6, the happy hour. And we were located just across the street from the city council building. So all the attorneys, the judge,
the
mayor, a new Mayor Rock, he'd come in and I'd set up a double Smirnoff on the rocks for him. And I learned more about what was going on in that city from those guys. I mean, what you said earlier, it's a great way to learn about people and to get insight into things. And so back then I wasn't even thinking ministry. I was just, enjoying life And that's how I got my start, was being a bartender.
A mixologist. I went to mixology school, studied the whole thing, got my degree, and never used it once.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I learned a couple things that were very important for my life from being a bartender. One, that drinking alcohol will do one of two things to people. It either makes them quiet or it makes them loud. But either way.
Or angry and sad.
That's well said. In the bar setting, the angry and sad, the sad manifested more than the anger.
So
it was a nice restaurant.
The quiet or loud. Why do people get so loud? You go into a restaurant, recently that happened.
You lose inhibition, man. You're no longer.
We're the center of attention of the world here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, So the bottom line was, you're not yourself.
I was guilty of that at one point.
Yeah, I remember those days with you and talking to you about,
alcohol.
Yeah.
I got over, after my mom died, I really indulged.
Really, really awesome, you know, how God helped you through that.
Yeah, miraculously. Yes. But we have another friend who used to come and sit at the front row of your church.
I know.
And he came, Chris, and went and visited some meetings we have, a 12-step program. But he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Last time I saw him, he had a wet brain in the hospital. And I said, do you recognize? I know who you are. And then, I don't know, the next day or a few days later, he died. Yeah.
You know, at first you start out with, I have alcohol, and you end up with, alcohol has me. Yes. And it really does.
Well, Mr. Walsh, 96-year-old Mr. Walsh, used to always tell me, man have first drink, man have second drink, third drink have man. He said it's an Indian saying.
Wow.
Man have first drink, man have second drink, third drink has man.
Yeah.
And if you think about it and chew on that, it's true.
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, I bartended and it ended there, but it didn't. As I was working the weekends at the bar, which was much louder, it was live bands, it was a lot of people in a factory town where people were paid on Thursday night. There's a reason why the bar opened up on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And I saw people
take your paycheck.
Yeah, back in that day, you know, Quaaludes were the thing, and so you had people bouncing off walls and everything else.
Now, what is a Quaalude? Is that speed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so just saw a lot and got caught up in some of it.
Okay.
And I didn't take those pills, but there were other things that I indulged in that were
experimentation. Psychedelics.
But you know what? Interestingly enough, it was under the influence of something. I'm not going to go into it, but that God really spoke to me. I was sitting at a Christmas party of the employees, and we were sitting in that lounge, and I participated with them in a substance, and immediately I didn't know anybody in the room.
Mm.
I was on a trip that was crazy.
Isolated.
And I immediately just stood up and walked out of the room, got in my VW, was heading across the bridge, Eisenhower Bridge.
Back then,
I was 6'2", and just skinny, man, skinny as a rail.
Okay.
And but I couldn't even feel my foot touching the pedal or the brake. That's how out of body experience it was.
Boy.
And got back and went straight to the bedroom, laid down on my bed, and you know, up in Indiana, you've got the basements, and they've got the heaters down there and the floor vents.
Yes.
And I looked over at the floor vent, and light was shooting up out of it. And I knew right then, no more. And that was my first experience doing that.
I don't like this.
Oh. And that broke me. But then just bartending day after day, serving guys, listening to them tell their stories. The more they drink, the more they open up, and they have an altered state or personality.
Mm-hmm.
And from that I learned, I don't need to be messing with alcohol.
No.
And now, this is long before I really, you know, became serious in my faith. I had had an experience where I decided that I wanted to be a Christian of my own volition, not because my parents raised me that way.
Why suddenly you want to become a Christian?
I think because of these experiences. And I just came to realize that's a dead-end street. I'm not happy. It's not giving me fulfillment.
You got all these miserable people sitting at the bar kind of going, I don't think that's the life I want.
Well, I'm waking up in the next morning, and I'm scratching my ear out here somewhere, you know. And I said, this is not the life I want.
No.
So I remember recommitting my life to Christ.
Really?
In college.
So you had committed your life to Christ as a kid?
As a 12-year-old and was baptized.
Do you remember, was there some semblance of a conversion? Was there some knowledge that something has changed within
there was.
You? Okay, so I believe probably at that point, if that's true, and that happened to my stepfather, and now he never became an extreme Christian like you and I are, where we want to proclaim the gospel to Jesus Christ, and not everybody's like us. I mean, there are those that say, I was just watching a video the other day on YouTube, and this preacher said, if you don't want to proclaim Jesus to people, I don't think you're born again. I don't think you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are people, both of us in our lives, we have people that are close to us. They're not upfront people. They're very hidden in the background. And we can't, you know, you and I are type A's. So we can't everybody experience. So I don't know where that begins and ends, you know?
Yeah, me either. But it led me, it just led me to, you know, when I recommitted, I just knew that I was a sinner and that Christ could forgive me of all my sin.
When did this happen? I mean, was it at home? Was it in a church?
No, it was in school. The same place where I was bartending and sowing my oats.
No, wait a second. So you're not in class one day, and all of a sudden you get...
No, they had, because it's a Christian college, they had this religious emphasis week services. For the whole week, they had a guy speaking in the evenings. It wasn't mandatory, but students could go. So there was a beautiful young blonde that I really had my eyes on.
Is that Mrs. Simpson?
Nope. And I wanted to go because she was going, and she asked me if I'd go. So I went, and I listened to what the guy said, and the Spirit of the living God began to convict me of my sin. And it was in a small, beautiful, neat, like an auditorium that had an orchestra pit and a neat stage. It was really a cool, like a repertoire kind of a thing. And so when the service was over, the guy invited students to come forward and kneel and pray in the orchestra pit. And there was a dude that on campus I just didn't get. I didn't understand him. I didn't want to spend time around him. He was a football player, a big lug, you know.
Christian?
A linebacker, no.
But he was there?
He was there, too. So I mean, I'll tell you. So this big guy's there. And
Let him tell the story, Rhett. Okay.
At the close, I go down. And they had chairs set up, and I knelt at a chair, and I was weeping uncontrollably.
Really?
As I contemplated the depth of my sin and how that breaks the heart of God. I don't know how it came upon me, but it's like the light came on.
He gave you, it's like, I think, even being broken and contrite is a gift of God.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Savior, I come. Quiet my soul. Remember redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. My ransom, everything I once had. Tempted and tried. You.